I hope today's conversation has been deep and transformative. Please consider becoming a Patreon supporter to help us continue and expand the Honesty Talks podcast. When you are a Patreon supporter, you will get to be a part of our online community. You can also get other great things like early access to episodes, participating in polls, and making suggestions on future podcast topics, and so much more. For more information and to donate, go to patreon.com/honesty_talks. Thank you for listening and join us next time. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Honesty Podcast. And right now we are actually going to be doing a series of everyday devotionals for counting the Omer in this season between Easter, Passover, Easter, Shavuot, and Pentecost. So there's this period of time that in the Jewish tradition they count what is called the Omer. And today, to help, actually for the next couple weeks, I have Jessica with me here, Jessica Larrabee, to help us walk through this every day for the next 3 weeks. So I'm going to hand it over to Jessica to say hi and actually explain what is an Omer.
Hi, yes. I would like to state that the Omer is 7 weeks, but we are starting in already at week 5, so we'll be doing the last 3 weeks of it. And the reason that we're okay with already starting halfway through is because an Omer is the amount that will fill you spiritually. So it is the perfect amount that will give you how much you need, and it will last for how long you need it. So no matter where you start, enter into it, you will still get what you need out of counting the Omer and sitting in what it means and reflecting with God on what the Omer will bring to you.
Awesome. And the historical reference to the Omer is, first it's used in Exodus to refer to the amount of manna taken every day. So that's kind of the spiritual filling that you're talking about.
Yes.
And historically, it was used to count down the days from Passover to when the people gathered around Mount Sinai in the Old Testament. And this throughout time, also when the temple was operational, built, they used this period of time from Passover until Shavuot, which is first fruits, to count grain offerings and what they would offer to God, their first fruits.
Yes, and the first use is in Exodus 16, and that is something we like to do a lot, is look at where's the first use in the Bible. So that is where we get the definition from, is related to counting the manna. And it also relates to, if you count the Omer but then try to hoard it and control it for yourself, it becomes rotten and stinks, which is what happens if they tried to keep the manna for too long. So it is the balance of holding what God has given you but not trying to control it.
Awesome. And there is a lot of historical references too, of like counting the Omer is, in history it was an agricultural society. And so offering first fruits of their harvest was a big deal because it was everything that they did. It was how they lived. They grew all of their own food, and they offered the first fruits of that to God. And the Omer, in where it first shows up in scripture, the word Omer, using to count, is in Exodus, but it's in the spiritual sense of counting the amount of manna God provided for the people. And so that's how that is like hooking together, that there's this, it is really the spiritual context in what we are counting in ourselves and leading up to being at the mountain of God with the people of God. And also, what are we offering during this time frame in first fruits, and then following the Mount Sinai and first fruits time is Pentecost. Mm-hmm. It's like a couple days after that, and the coming of the Holy Spirit, and that all these things, like the timelines that don't happen all at once, they happen through time, are not happening on accident.
Correct. Yes. And when we look at Exodus 16, it says it is enough to fill your head and your soul. So it's really emphasizing on God's provision being enough for you physically, but also being enough for you spiritually, mentally, and just really how you inhabit the space with time and trusting that God's provision will continue to come.
And also with the historical context of offering grain, it's also the work of your hands is what's needed to be surrendered to God too.
Mm-hmm.
it isn't just about taking, there's a relationship. Mm-hmm. I think that the historical and, well, they're both historical because manna happened way before offering of grain, but like throughout time, that there's a both.
And I think it teaches us how to hold the passing of time better. Like, we are just leaving Passover, which is about what are you leaving during this season? And then it teaches us how to be mindful with our time as we move forward and as we're leaving out of this space, and just the intentionality of being present with God so we don't go back into the narrow place that we just left.
Mm. And for those of you who are listening and might not know what Passover is about, to give you a little background, Passover is 7-8 days long, and it is a whole week. And we celebrate during this time the exodus of the people from Egypt. And Egypt in the Hebrew is Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim means narrow place. So there is a large spiritual truth to every year at Passover. We are looking at what are the narrow places that we have become slaves to. We work worshiping, serving other things other than God that we need to leave in life. And those can be spiritual realities, and they can also be physical realities. They can be jobs, relationships, things we believe about ourselves that we need to leave. So in this season where we've identified things to leave, counting the Omer is then a way to be more intentional and present with yourself and to not fall back into those patterns, mm-hmm. and really to make space for growth and what God brings. So as we are making this journey and counting the Omer, there is a structure in how we meditate on this and count it every day. And it involves prayers and a structure. So I'm going to let Jessica explain the structure of counting the Omer.
Yes, there are 7 different themes, and each week has its own theme, and each day has its own theme. And so you sit in what the weekly meaning is overall, as well as you sit in what the daily meaning is and how that plays a part into the weekly meaning.
So how it intersects. Awesome. And there's, when we're doing this, there's room for however, whatever God is speaking to you as you are counting, mm-hmm. and those weekly themes and daily themes, how they intersect. There'll be things that God points out to you that really stick with you. And really, it's a practice of hearing.
Mm-hmm. Hearing where God is leading you and what you need, because what Trin might need is different from what I need and what I'm going to get out of the counting.
So we want this to be a richness of space that's provided as we count the Omer, that there's room for individually, we're going to encounter that differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just hope that you get a lot of richness out of these devotionals. We're going to share how we both interact with it, which is very different, and that there's room for how God may be moving in you in the counting of the Omer, mm-hmm. as well.
Good evening, it is April 29th, and this is the 33rd day of the Omer. The week that we are currently sitting in is Hod, which is splendor, glory, empathy, humility, service, surrender. And the people are Hannah and Aaron, and the color associated with Hod is lavender.
And we are in the day of Hod, which is splendor, glory, empathy, humility, service, and surrender. I really like these days when they line up like this, because like you get like an extra boost of really focusing on for the week. It's for the day. Mm-hmm. So I feel like you really get to focus on those 5 things.
Yeah. It forces you to sit in it rather than like continue like to compare it and play each. And how does it like go with one another? It forces you like, nope, you're only going to sit in this.
And that happens like with every, it mm-hmm. happens over and over again with everyone is really cool. So, again, the people are Aaron and Hannah, and the color is lavender. And I just think, like, you know, I remember our garden conversation.
Yes.
You know, I know that was Hod with Tiferet, but this is like, I don't know, maybe it's like double garden. Because, like, splendor, glory, empathy, humility, service, surrender. I think it's a different flavor for me.
I was going to say, I don't get garden out of this. It's not like the peaceful tranquility I get. Maybe like after humans are kicked out of the garden.
There's splendor there.
I mean, that's when they have children, so kinda.
You know, there is, you're pointing out like a point of like these things together, because there's like splendor and glory, and then there's like empathy, humility, service, surrender.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I don't think the normal person would put those together.
Absolutely not.
That there's splendor and glory in empathy, humility, service, and surrender.
Mm-hmm.
Because surrender a lot of times feels like absolute garbage.
And that's, some people put like glory with service because they use the service for themselves. But like humility and glory and humility and splendor, those are like not a normal definition on how we think of humility.
I think it's trying to force you to look at, by being humble, what splendor can come from that, and what are you actually creating space for with your humility? What are you creating space for with your empathy?
Mm.
You know, what kind of splendor are you bringing? And I would say glory too, and also with your service and your surrender.
Mm-hmm.
That's what sticks out to me.
And I think we need to separate the difference between like when we humble ourselves and we're like, oh, we're so humble, and then when God humbles us.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. But then I think of Hannah. Hannah's story, I feel like Hannah, whenever we're in Hod, rather it be the week or the day, she really speaks this for me, because I think her story is really like, it could start in a place where like, I really want to be a mother. This is like what I want with my life. But for her to get to a place in the temple to ask for a seed for the people and be willing to surrender the one thing she wanted,
mm-hmm.
for the betterment of the community,
mm-hmm.
and to see that clearly,
mm-hmm.
in pain,
mm-hmm.
like that is something, I think she really represents the Hod for me.
Yeah. And even Aaron, like Moses came to him, or he went to Moses after the burning bush, and then the rest of his life from that point is like second wing to this guy. Like there's never really much about him after that, but he was there in each of those moments.
Yeah, and the only time that we would really get a lot of like Aaron on his own is like Golden Calf.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, I mean, I bet you in that moment he felt about 2 inches tall.
Yep. So it's like he surrendered kind of the rest of his life to serve with God for God's glory and continue to back his brother Moses, and he's the one speaking. But
can you imagine those family dynamics,
mm-hmm.
of like you're Moses' brother? Just think of the dynamics, because Aaron was a slave in Egypt, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And didn't really know Moses, but knew Moses as the adopted prince of Egypt. And then to, like, come and assist your brother on freeing the people,
mm-hmm.
when he has left, and then come back. I don't know. I just feel like there's a lot. That takes a lot of trust. That takes a lot of faith. It takes a lot of risk.
I feel like there might even be some guilt, though. Like, if you're Aaron, you were born before the Egyptians wanted to murder Hebrew boys. So, like, you got the ability to live, whereas your brother was born with like a death sentence on his head.
That's a good point. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. These family dynamics are just like,
mm-hmm.
on fire for me.
Yeah. And that's just like, how much is that in the Bible of the families got all these like different dynamics, but then people nowadays are like, oh, my family's so messed up. It's like all families are messed up.
Right? All families have unhealthy dynamics and things that they've carried, mm-hmm. into their lives and into with their children. And I think that's why intentionality is so important, is that if you aren't taking a look at how you were raised, and instead of like packing it away,
mm-hmm.
you could easily bring that into whatever relationship, whatever is next, like when you have kids. So it's like being intentional and taking spaces where you can look at yourself and bring yourself to God.
Mm-hmm.
Provides space to see and, mm-hmm. provides a pathway for change. I think that's where I think of the humility. And then to do that, and God giving you strength, but also the empathy for yourself that like, yeah, this is screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
And then the surrender it takes to do that. And this, like, I think of the service part as like doing the work.
Mm. Yeah.
And then the splendor and glory that come from that. And that God covers and guides this whole process.
Yeah, that's true. And even the, like, ability to, like, separate that what happened to you guys as children doesn't set the trajectory for, like, your relationships as adults.
Mm, it doesn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times we see people just replay it.
Yeah, I mean, the whole Torah up until their story was sibling rivalry because of things that the parents had put in place.
Right? Started all the way back with Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel.
Mm-hmm.
There's this thing of brothers and familial brokenness that just keeps carrying over.
Yeah, and they're really the first brothers to not have that.
Yeah, I guess I never thought about it that way. Huh. And it's funny because, like, this comes after... All of this makes sense, though. Mm-hmm. This comes after Joseph has made up with his brothers,
mm-hmm.
saves them from famine. They settle in Egypt, and then they have a really prosperous life together. Mm-hmm. They're one nefesh, one soul, and then they multiply, but then that's what turns into slavery. Is new Pharaoh comes into power down the line, doesn't remember Joseph, doesn't remember any of this. So it's like... I guess here we're seeing breaking of that pattern, even with slavery.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, who knows? Like, between the two stories, it's, what, 400 years? 400 plus years? So, it's maybe just how many people before them did they see have these, like, negative sibling relationships? And so did they actively make the choice to say no?
Yeah. I always wonder what's not written,
mm-hmm.
you know, in scripture, what's not told. Wow. I didn't think we'd go with the family.
I know. I was like, well, that was an interesting turn. I'm looking at the colors, like the lavender and lavender. Like when we had the lavender and yellow, that was really peaceful. And I still get lavender and peaceful. But like having the two together is like not so much as a calming peaceful, but like that calm before the storm peaceful. Like, something's coming and you're preparing yourself for it.
Mm. Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're really right. Almost like the feeling of, I don't know what's coming, but mm-hmm. I can feel in my spirit there's mm-hmm. like a rising of something. And it's coming.
And there's even a part of you... that you can tell God's preparing you for something, but you have no idea what it is yet.
Oh, absolutely. And usually you have to wrestle with each of these things. Like you mm-hmm. have to surrender to what God might be preparing you for without having all the details. You have to be willing to do whatever it is, like mm-hmm. service. Okay, God, I'll do whatever you're bringing.
Yep.
Whatever's coming, I'll do what you want me to. Not even what you're bringing, but whatever's coming, even whether you bring it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then the humility to, like, not know the entire plan.
Mm-hmm.
And what might be asked of you might be something you don't want to do.
And I feel like you don't get the next step until you reach the glory. Because there's usually a long period in there, at least for me personally, where I'm pretty mad at God of, like, I'm doing what you said, and I don't know what's coming, and, like, I can't get past myself. That then, once I reach the glory, is when I'm like, oh, I can see what you're doing. And there's the next step.
And how much energy, I always think about how much energy I waste.
Mm-hmm.
Like, putting into things that I probably shouldn't and should direct somewhere else. And how much more effective, calmer... I would be if I did some, like, directed that energy to somewhere different.
Oh, absolutely. How much more energy would we have if we actually trusted what God was doing and stopped trying to, like, take control of it every step of the way?
Oh, yeah. Control is definitely a thing. Mm-hmm. I was just outlining, like, even in my own life, what I realized is I was in a space that didn't fit well.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing I could articulate in that space is everything I didn't believe in. Because the box I was in didn't
Mm-hmm.
It didn't fit. And, well, you know me in boxes. I just love them so much. Not. But it didn't fit. And so all I could articulate is what I don't believe in or what I'm not. And then there was like this growth period of like, no, I don't want to live life like that. I don't want to live life by coming at things like that. Mm. What would life be like if I was coming at it as this is what I believe in?
Mm. Yes, that's powerful.
Like, I want to live my life like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then that kind of fighter spirit that I have, because I can't get rid of it. I'd like to sometimes, but I can't. Could go toward things that actually need that intensity and voice, like racial justice, LGBTQ rights, and loving all people, socioeconomic statuses, making sure people are cared for, actually doing the things the Bible says we should do with marginalized groups, people. That I'll use my voice for.
Yeah, and that takes the fighter spirit to stay in.
Well, right. Mm-hmm. And like, what am I robbing from by not putting all that kind of energy into that to that extent?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm always like, ah, this is all the stuff I'm not.
That makes sense. I even think about like how much reading the Bible humbles me of like, I put all of this pressure on every decision I'm going to make. Like, this is going to affect the rest of my life. I have to make the right choice right now. And it's like, eh, Moses killed someone and then wandered around for 40 years. And then God was like, okay, time to go back. And it's like, not that our choices don't matter, but it's just, I feel like we put more weight to them than that actually they're like, if somehow we do get off the step and, but we're still trying to listen to God, he will bring us back.
I think we don't give God enough credit. To like be patient, still continue to work with us. Mm-hmm. That the Bible's filled with people like that. And it's not to give you like, you know, carte blanche to do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. No. The whole goal is to like, maybe next time it'll be shorter. We don't have to do it four times. Maybe you'll get it in two.
And when you circle back around, can you learn the lesson that was in that?
Exactly. And grow.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I think we spend a lot of time. Oh man, I'm standing at this cliff. This is going to define everything. And if you don't get it exactly right, then you just waste time beating yourself up instead of actually like God going, okay, let's get up and try this again.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. That is true. Well, I think that's a good place to end it, don't you?
Yeah, sit in your life choices.
And how might doing that bring splendor and glory?
Mm, yes. Blessings on your day.
I hope today's conversation has been deep and transformative. Please consider becoming a Patreon supporter to help us continue and expand the Honesty Talks podcast. When you are a Patreon supporter, you will get to be a part of our online community. You can also get other great things like early access to episodes, participating in polls, and making suggestions on future podcast topics, and so much more. For more information and to donate, go to patreon.com/honesty_talks. Thank you for listening and join us next time.